Amen. Blessed be His wonderful name. Give the Lord a hand clap tonight. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's scriptural. Listen to our hearts. Satan chose the mind. God chose the heart. Amen. Blessed be His wonderful name. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be here on day before Thanksgiving. Of course, every day should be a day of Thanksgiving for us. Amen. So we want to just get right into the thought here. Speaking on the thought of unity and oneness, once again, I'd like to read from John chapter 17, verse 11. Then we'll skip down to the 20th verse and read through the 23rd verse. John chapter 17 and verse 11. And now I am no more in the world. Once again, Jesus is fighting His greatest battle that He's ever fought, and He's overcome at this point, and He's in the garden. And you would think, you know, when we're in the middle of our greatest battle, we tend to think about ourselves. He's not thinking about Himself, He's thinking about us. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee, Holy Father. Keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as We are one. Skipping down to the 20th verse, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word. Through their word. That they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us. And here's the purpose of it, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. So the world will know that He was sent when the world sees this unity in this body. And as we pointed out last time, even the heathens acknowledged how they stuck together and how they loved one another. They didn't agree with Him, but they sure noticed this characteristic. That they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them. No way. That they may be one, even as We are one. I in them, Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect or complete or mature in one. And that the world may know, so in the previous statement, that the world may believe, here He says that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. Amen. You mean God loves the rest of the new race like He loved the first of the new race? That's what He said. That Thou hast sent Me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. I'd like to read from the statement that we read last time again, United Under One Head. He says, my loving friends, may I say this to you tonight. God wants us to be one, but He wants us one not under the foolishness of manhood. So there's no man that's going to get the whole body of Christ together. There's no convention that we're going to come to. There's no Nicene Council that we're going to come together and hammer out all the... We're never going to dot our I's all the same and cross our T's all the same, but we will come together in oneness of purpose. We will come together in objective, in mind, in love, and we will come together around the truth, whether we ever meet one another on this side or not. God wants us to be one, but He wants us one, not under the foolishness of manhood, but He wants us one, united under the Holy Godhead. United as one person, one man, one woman, one church, one people, one view, one purpose, one motive, one objective, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. One thing to serve Him, one love, the love of God, one brotherhood, the brotherhood of man, one fellowship of the Holy Ghost, then we're united. We're united then as one. We don't fuss no more then. We don't argue no more. We act like man. We dress like man. We'll dress like women, sons and daughters of God. Our character, our conduct, our faith will prove. When God says anything, we'll say amen to it. If the Bible says for us to do a certain thing, we'll do it. If the Bible says for us, we won't argue back, we'll just go and do it. That's what God wants us united under. Oh, how we ought to act in this present day. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come together for this midweek service, we thank you, Lord, for your many blessings, for your love, and thank you for an opportunity to come together once again, Lord, and under the shed blood and with those of like precious faith. And Father, you promised that where two or more are gathered, that you'd be there in their midst. And so, Lord, we're counting on that tonight. We're counting on you to feed our souls, to minister to us, to give us the wisdom that some are asking for, the healing that others are asking for, whatever it is that we have need, our direction for tomorrow, Lord, the word for the present day, quicken, Lord, so that it will live amongst us. Pray that your blessings would be upon each and every one, Lord, from the pulpit to the back door. And there's no great ones here, Lord. The only great one is you. You are the great I am. And Father, we ask you to forgive us for our mistakes, our slowness of heart at times, Lord, and Father, to just take our feeble efforts and use them for your honor and for your glory and for your kingdom. May you speak tonight, Lord. May you listen. May you reveal your word to us. Amen. And then, Lord, may you cause it to live when we walk out of the doors. Father, we love you and we thank you and we give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. So last time we looked at the time after the flood, and we looked at the conditions that were on the earth right after the flood, how the earth got saved, it was baptized, and how the presence of God was so near that when they walked out of the ark, God's presence was upon the face of the earth, and it wasn't long before, you know, we know that seed came over in the ark, and man began to multiply once again, and we saw how man wanted to lift that anointing away from them because there were those that wanted to sin, but they weren't comfortable doing it because the presence of God was so near. And so they got him a man, a great man, a great emancipator is what they call him, by the name of Nimrod. And Nimrod, being a hunter, being crafty, of course he dealt with the issue of all the ravenous animals that were attacking people after the flood. And then he began to conquer man. Then he began to, he formed the first kingdom. He was the first king upon the earth. And then we saw how the seeds that he planted spread, and how now men were coming together in a unity under the headship of man instead of under the headship of God. And they said, let us build us a city and let us make a name for ourselves. And they were they were appreciating the fact that they called him the elevator of heaven, that where he was lifting, actually, they were driving the Spirit of God away, just as we're seeing the same thing happen again in our day. And we know that Shem's group, that they were having to press to bring an atmosphere, and they were wondering if maybe there was something that they were doing wrong. But the presence of God was being grieved away, was being pressed away, and so the true church had to press that much harder to create that atmosphere once again. And then we saw how God, we saw the power of unity, and we saw what could take place, good or bad. It doesn't matter what man is uniting around. When man unites together, there's power in that. And so we saw that the great power that was under that uniting under one head in the city of Babylon, and how God came down and said, unless I separate them and send them to different parts of the world and change their languages, anything that man imagines, anything that comes into his heart that they agree on, they will do. So with that, we're looking at the power that exists under oneness and under unity, and we know that there's a oneness and unity that's promised to the Church of the Living God here in the end time. But we also know that Satan is bringing a unity and a oneness here in the end time. And we saw that whether the union is a good union or a bad union, doesn't matter. There's power in unity. There's power in oneness. And as we looked at, it doesn't mean everybody's going to agree on every single thing. In fact, there'll be a lot of things that they don't agree on, but there is a central core that they're in agreement on, that they rally around, and there's power in that oneness and in that unity. The sum of the power of the individual members is greater, or the sum of the whole is greater than the sum of the individual powers of the individuals that, you know what I mean. And we've been told by Bible prophecy that there's going to be a global uniting in the last day, right? And we're seeing it take place right in front of our very eyes. But before that unification of the religions of the world can take place, in the nations of the world, there must be first a complete uniting of the sons and daughters of God on the earth under one head also. We've been promised that Christ will have preeminence in a body. That all things will be gathered together in one in Christ Jesus, Him being the head. So this is under the headship of Jesus Christ the Word. And it's one body made up of many members, as we know. And that body is united together under the headship of the Word. And that body will be one in motive, it'll be one in objective, one in vision for this day, one in purpose, one united by one Spirit and bound together by the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the church says, and some of us will like tamales, and some of us will like cabbage rolls, and some of us will like sausage, and that's not going to change, right? And I feel sorry for you if you don't like Mexican food, but. So we're already seeing signs of an ecumenical movement that's sweeping across the globe. And we know that our messenger spoke about it back in the 60s and the precursors to that and United Nations and all the different things that were taking place that was heading towards this new world order. But we're seeing it accelerated, and we're seeing it. Frankly, I didn't think that I would see it coming to pass right before my eyes. I guess it was wishful thinking. I guess I was hoping I'd be gone, you know. But we are seeing reuniting beginning to take place amongst those that were previously pulled away from the Roman Catholic Church in protest against the doctrines and teachings of the church. And we're seeing them all come home to mama. We're seeing in England, the Church of England, after 500 years, they're coming home to mama. The Irish are coming home to mama. And all of their major differences are being worked out. Not all their differences, but just, you know, there's certain ones that they can agree on. They're being worked out so that they can reunite and they can all be one big happy family once again. And it sounds good, right? It's unity. It's why can't we just all get along, right? And they will still, of course, all have little differences, just as you and I will. I'll say tomato and you'll say tomato, or I'll say potato, you'll say, well, whatever. They will still have differences on many things, but they will choose to be united together under one head once again. The daughters of the Church of Rome are coming home to join with the Mother Church once again, the Church of Rome, the Catholic Church. And there are also efforts underway to unite man of all of the main religions together under one head as well. And you say, people might say or think, oh, that'll never happen. There's no way that, you know, how is somebody who worships Buddha or Muhammad, how are they going to come together with those that are worshiping Jehovah? But you see, that's just the thing. The Church of Rome has brought in the gods of the heathens into their church and has given them new names. And they've done that throughout the church ages. And so as far as unions form, the various gods of the other religions, they will be incorporated under the guise of all roads lead to heaven or something along those lines. The Catholic Church has already, as we were going through the church age study for 26 weeks, we saw that they've already incorporated the worship of Nimrod and of Astarte and of Baal and of the Roman names for those same gods and the Greek names for those same gods. They've incorporated them under different names. It's recycled religion, as we would say. And they have made gods out of saints, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, in their worship. And as we saw, as we went through the study of the church ages, we saw that the same gods that were worshipped right after the flood are the same gods that have continued to be worshipped throughout the ages, but often under different names. So what we will see under this end time uniting is the gathering together of all of these deities under one main deity. And that deity is none other than Satan himself, disguised as an angel of light. And he has already become the god of this evil age. But what remains is for his religion to be united under one head with a serpent nature. And Satan himself will come and personally dwell in that man of sin. And Paul tells us that that man of sin will be revealed after a falling away first takes place. And all whose names are not written in the Lamb's or in the book of life, they will unite together under this headship. And they will all be deceived into worshiping the devil himself. Thinking that they are worshiping the true God of heaven and earth. Now we could go through the various prophecies that are being made clear now by modern events, if you will. But that is perhaps a study for another time. We're going to look at it a little bit here tonight. But for now, we're looking at the power of unity. We're looking at what can take place when there's oneness. And one can only imagine the power that's going to exist under this new world order that is to be united under one head. But just so that we're clear, let's look at what Paul said about the end time false church and the true church. And then you be the judge if we're not seeing these things taking place right before us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Paul says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him," so we're uniting together in him, "that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first," and we're certainly seeing that here in the end time, "and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, the devil in shoes, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." God is an object of worship. But he's receiving worship that he's pulled to himself. Right? And he doesn't care that people don't recognize him as the devil. He doesn't care. He just wants that worship. He just wants to divert. He doesn't care if they're deceived or not. Paul says, "Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things?" So he's reminding them once again. "And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." So it was already working in the days of Paul, and now it's coming to a crescendo. It's coming to a climax here, and it's coming to a complete unveiling here in the end time. "The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let," that's the Holy Spirit, "until he be taken out of the way," the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, "and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, at a later time, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Not this coming, but the next one. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Listen to this now. Because they received not the love of the truth. How many love the truth this evening? Then you have nothing to worry about. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. They want to believe a lie? He'll give them a lie. He'll give you whatever it is that you want. That they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. They that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. Sounds pretty strong statement for him to make, but he established it. He said, if an angel in heaven comes and brings something different than what I brought, let him be accursed, which means an angel from heaven would do that. Otherwise he wouldn't say something like that. Whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus prayed that we would have the glory that he had with the Father. He says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your body, when it's changed, that is your glorification. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, stand fast, stand fast. And hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Just stay on that word. Amen. Don't move. Everything's going to move all around you, but you just stay right on that unfailing words of promise. So in other words, unite together in spirit and in truth. So there's power under this headship also. And Satan will not be able to overcome those that are united together under this headship of Jesus Christ the Word. It's not possible. There's power in oneness. There's power in unity. If there's power in heathen man, if there's power in fallen man, when they come together in agreement, how much more in the sons and daughters of God? And the power that is under this union, it will not only keep you, which it will. This is not a grand experiment. He set your destiny. You have an expected end. He's already shown you in the vision where you're at. What you're expected. There's no surprise ending to your walk. He chose you in himself to be this and to be that and to be that. And you have an expected end. As the Old Testament prophet said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So there's great power in this unity that's taking place in the body of Christ. And so Satan will not be able to overcome those that are united together under this headship, under the headship of Jesus Christ the Word. And the power that is under this union, it will not only keep you, but it'll continually change you from glory to glory to glory. Change you from the inside out, and it will impart to you His glory, and it will change your mortal body. Part of you has already passed from death unto life. We're just waiting for the rest of it to catch up. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So you and I are anointed of the same Spirit that was in Christ Jesus. Amen. And it is the same Spirit that is spoken of in Malachi 4:5, in the same Spirit that of Luke 17:30, of Revelation chapter 10, of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and all the other scriptures that contain the promises for our day. So we don't just have the word for our day, but we have the spirit of the word to anoint that word and to make it live. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And because if all we have is the word, I remember as a Baptist, growing up as a Baptist, that's what we said. We have the word. We have the word. And we did. We had the same Bible that I have tonight. Right? But if that's all we have, we're no better off than any of the other Christian groups, because many of them have the very same written word that you and I have. But they lack the life of that word, and they lack the revelation of that word, the life of that word, to make it live through them and in them. And that's what God is doing. This end time message, friends, is not an idea. This end time message is describing a body that's living on the earth, that's coming into view. Hallelujah. She has been foreran. So the world is being united together as we speak under one anointing, while the elect of God of this last age are also being united together under another anointing, which is the Christ of all the ages. Those that unite under this Antichrist move, they are anointed by the Antichrist spirit. And that spirit is characterized by hate and by murder and intolerance and wickedness, while claiming to be right, while claiming to be the opposite. And we saw that that very same anointing, it's already, friends, we're beyond, we have no excuse. We've already seen a preview of this. We saw this very same anointing in Nazi Germany, and we saw it in fascist Italy, and we saw it in communist Russia, and we saw it in a Nazi-like nation of Japan, who murdered and killed millions of people, just as the others had, including many of their own. So we don't have to wonder anymore what this Antichrist anointing will be, and we don't have to wonder what it'll do when it's given free reign here on the earth, because we've already seen it. As our messenger told us, it would first be loosed on Israel to drive them into their homeland. Right? I love how the devil's working for us. I love how every one of his efforts, all it does is make God's word come to pass in our life. All it does is prove who we are. Brother Branham said that's the very same anointing that was on Stalin and Eichmann and Hitler and the different ones. It's the same that was on Alexander the Great, the same that was on the guy, the crazy guy in the Old Testament. Forget his name, starts with an N. Come on, help me out here. Nebuchadnezzar, thank you. Same anointing, right? Greatest kingdom on the earth. Same anointing. That same anointing has been bound and it's been loosed in our day. And it was loosed to drive Israel into her promised land, right? It's done its job. And now it's turned on the spiritual Israel. Now it's turned on the bride of Jesus Christ to drive us into our spiritual homeland, to drive us into that open book, into that open word, where all of our inheritance lays. So what he doesn't realize is that he's actually driving us into something that's going to be used against him. And he's going to get his wings singed when he comes against this bride here in the end time. So we don't have to wonder what's just ahead of us. What's that anointing going to look like? Because it's the same Antichrist anointing. And it's anointing, it's an anointing that anoints human emotions, reasoning, imagination, and so on and so forth. And it causes those that are under this anointing to hate and to despise. So the lines are being drawn on the earth even as we speak. And it will get to the place where everyone on the earth will be anointed of one of two spirits. There won't be any, we got Republican, there won't be any independents, right? You'll be anointed by one or the other. Those that are anointed by the Antichrist spirit, they will want to hunt down and kill those that are anointed of Christ. Just as that Antichrist spirit hunted down and killed the Jewish people. And when we see that anti-Semitism rise on our college campuses, as we're seeing, right? You know, that anti-Semitism, it comes from the word Semite, which is, it's changed a little bit over the years, but it's a Shemite. It's the descendants of Shem, right? So to be an anti-Semitic is to be against the Shem class of people. We saw that Nimrod, why didn't he go and build a tower somewhere else? No, he had to come into Shem's land, right? It's always wherever God's doing his work. It's always God's children. Those are the ones that Satan attacks, that Satan hunts down. So we see that anti-Semitism rising on our college campuses, and we know that time is running short. When we see innocent babies killed, and I'm not going to go into any kind of graphic detail, but it's just horrible what has taken place. People from all age groups massacred in horrible ways. And then we see our finest, our next generation, having their brains washed in colleges to actually look upon the Palestinians as the victims. Right after they murdered babies. We hear people uniting to defend that barbaric behavior. And we know that Antichrist spirit is rising, it's raising its ugly head once again, and it's gaining more and more and more power as more and more unite under that spirit. So keep in mind, friends, as we looked at the conditions at the time of Babel and last week, and all those that united to build that city and build that tower, they were not totally in agreement on many things, but they were united together in one purpose to build this city. We seek one who's the builder and maker. We seek a city who the builder and maker is God. We're not trying to build a city, right? And we're not trying to make a name for ourselves. He's already given us a name. Our name is written in that Lamb's book. Our names are written on the palms of his hand. I don't know how he gets it all there on the palms, but they're written there. I don't have to make a name for myself. He's already given us a name. I don't have to build a city. I seek a city whose builder and maker is God. So they spoke one language, and there was power that resulted from that union. And God said, if I don't come down and separate them, send them off to different parts of the world, to different parts of the globe, can bring confusion to their language, well, then nothing that they put their minds together to, whatever they imagine to do under this oneness, nothing will be withheld from them. There's I don't remember the exact way that it was said. I'll look for it next time, Lord willing, when we come together. But Brother Ram said something along the lines of, when they break into God's great laboratory, which man is doing, right? And discover the very secrets of life, he'll call the work short. So we're in a parallel time as it was in the days right after the flood, in the days of Noah. Noah was alive to see this taking place. As it was then, so is it now. So they're coming together, they're speaking one language. This time that language is called science. And they'll actually stand by science when it's convenient. So God said, if I don't come down and separate them, they've come together under this oneness. Nothing will be kept from them. So this time, God will let this union that is formed do whatever they decide to do for a space of 3.5 years before again stepping in and calling an end to it. So we've had a pope, just going to touch on this briefly, but it's kind of important, I think, to where we're at right now. We've had a pope visit Israel in 1964 for the first time in thousands of years. And while he was there, there was a lunar eclipse that took place. He wore a triple crown. He was the last one to wear a triple crown. He wore it, and then when he came to the end of his reign, he took it off. And friends, the book came open. He was exposed. They're not dummies. Took that off and said, "Well, let's sell it to feed the poor." Doesn't that sound good? So who do you think they sold it to? Themselves. You can find it in the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. Where do you go to church? Oh, the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. In Washington, D.C. You can see it there. So he wore that triple crown, as did many other popes, with the number of a man inscribed on it, or above it, Revelation 13, which we'll read here in just a moment, and claimed to be the Son of God on the earth. And they do not teach the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But he claimed to be the Son of God here on the earth, literally, and this is the millennium, and he's the King of the earth, he's the God of the earth, as all popes claim to be. So they wore this triple crown from the 8th century through the 20th century, ending with this Pope Paul. Revelation 13, 18, I just thought, you know, we quote this and quote it and quote it. We've got young people, we've got people coming in. Let's just put it up here. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding, so count the number of the beast. So we're being told, here's the wisdom. Count. Okay, we'll do that. For it is the number of a man. Well, we know what the number of man is. It's 6, right? Just look at the 6-colored rainbow. It's 6. I don't know why couldn't they just go off and make their own symbol? That's the way Satan is, right? He had to pervert God's covenant that he made with man, 7 colors. Be careful when you look at those things. So much of the time you look at that and you think, oh, isn't that cool? Count the number of colors in it. Much of the time it's 6. It's a perversion. That's the number of man. So what it says over that triple crown is vicarius fili Dei, vicar instead of Christ. Or in other words, that is Christ. You know, he's taking the place of Christ, right? The Roman numerals are I, V, X, L, C, D, and M. And of course, they represent 1, 5, 10, 50, 100, 500, and 1,000 respectively. So if you take V for 5 and I for 1 and C for 100 and then another I for 1 and a V for 5 and an I for 1 and an L for 50 and an I for 1 and an I for 1 and a D for 50, 500 and an I for 1 and you add all that up, 5 plus 1 is 6. I know public math can get you in trouble, but let's try this. I'm going to leave my shoe on and see if I can get this right. 5 plus 1 is 6 plus 100 is 106. Plus 1 is 107, plus 5, 112, plus 1, 113, plus 50, 163, plus 1, 164, plus 1, 165, plus 500, 665, plus 1, we did it. 6, 6, 6. Well, that was exposed in our day. So what does he do? Well, let's just take this off and... Right? It doesn't do away with it. Right? No pope has worn it since that last pope. But he took it off right after the word came open. I'll let you be the judge. The triple crown. Now imagine this. Why is it that the popes wear this triple crown when Jesus Christ has not been crowned? We will crown him. Meanwhile, they got a guy on the earth that's already been crowned. And he's wearing a triple crown, symbolizing the triple power of the Pope. Now, I'm taking this right from their own writings. Father of kings. Oh, so now he's Jehovah. Now he's Elohim, Father of kings. Come on. Governor of the world. Well, I'll give you that. And vicar of Christ. In other words, he is Christ's representative, right? But they take it a step further. They say that he's infallible, so they make him Christ. What I don't get about all of this, you know, is, you know, they've made so many mistakes throughout the ages. They never have to go back and straighten that out. They never have to go back and say, well, he was, you know, he was infallible until he wasn't. I mean, what are we supposed to do with that? It's like every one of these guys, we saw their humanness, and yet you said they're infallible. And now we're supposed to believe this next guy is somehow going to be different? So we've had a pope named John Paul from Poland that worked behind the scenes to bring down the Iron Curtain, and to in a large part was behind the bringing down of the Soviet Empire, because it started in Poland. And the organization that was in Poland organized all these demonstrations. I mean, there were millions of people that were involved. Where do you get that organization? The Catholic Church was behind that. In 1998, he apologizes that the Catholic Church did not do enough to help the Jews. Not do enough. They didn't do anything during the Holocaust. We've had another pope by the name of Benedict. Kind of looked like a devil to me, but. And he visited a synagogue, a mosque, and a Catholic church in Israel in 2009. And he called for an interfaith union of faiths. And his chosen motto, each pope chooses a motto for themselves, means cooperators of the truth. They're not cooperators, they're perverters of the truth. Yeah, cooperators, yeah, they're manufacturing the truth, and they're going to all get together and cooperate on that like they did at the Council of Nicaea, right? Many called Pope John Paul II the greatest man of the 20th century. I'd have to disagree with that. I think the greatest man of the 20th century was born in a little log cabin in a place called Kentucky. He never called himself that, but greatest ministry that we've had. So listen, friends, we're not saying that they never did a good thing in their life. We're not saying that these popes have horns and carry a pitchfork. In fact, it's kind of ironic that the Catholic Church, you know, they had, for a while there, Fox News Network was, it's almost all Catholics. Rupert Murdoch is a Catholic. Now that his son's taken over, things are starting to change. But they were preaching morality to the rest of the nation. It's pretty sad when the Catholics are trying to tell you, when you have to have a Catholic tell you, don't kill your babies. So of course they do some good things, just as Cain did, just as Esau did. In fact, their works were pretty good. Esau was a pretty good guy, just as Judas did. He had a part in the ministry. No one would be deceived by somebody who looked and acted like the devil all the time. No, these guys kiss babies, they feed the poor, except for their own. When we went and visited Rome, you know, you ever see the graffiti that you'll see it in Los Angeles? You'll see it when you cross the border. You see, you know, graffiti, and it's much of the time it's written, it's put there by, you know, Spanish-speaking people. We'll put this graffiti here and there. You know where graffiti comes from? It comes from Rome. And it was where the Jewish pogroms were, or whatever the term was, were ghettos. That's where that term came from. It was those of the Catholic faith that was marking things up with graffiti. And when we went and visited, I was shocked. When we went and visited Rome for the first time, I never seen so much graffiti in my life around. Especially around where the Catholic Church was. And I never seen so many people begging. And yet the richest richest nation, because they're a nation, on the earth, right? And they're not even feeding their own, of course. But they do a lot of good, as man would say, right? Because everything is works-based. Work this, work that, you know, like a mule. They have to. It's all works-based. Men choose who the next pope will be when the previous one passes on, or in the rare case, like in our day, that one of them steps down, as Benedict did in our day. And then they give a smoke signal to signify when the politics have settled, you know. Oh, let's look over at A Mountain. What color is that smoke that's coming up? That's so spiritual, right? Give a smoke signal. And what that does is that signifies when the politics have settled. They won't call it this, but that's what it is. Without the Holy Spirit, all you have is politics, and that's how Satan runs his kingdom. When a choice is made, I think it's white smoke that comes up, or is it black smoke? I don't know. They're blowing smoke, that's for sure. They give a smoke signal, and they say it's the Holy Spirit that's directing their choice. Mm-hmm. Just like the Holy Spirit chooses his man, just as he chose Paul, while the church got together and drew straws and then sent up a smoke signal and said, you know, it's this man that will replace Judas. But God chose Paul. And we never heard much more. In fact, I can't even remember his name. There's a lot of things I'm not remembering tonight, but I don't remember the name of the guy that they picked. You do. Okay. So you at least remember that it was Matthias, right? That's about the end of it. This is man's choice. But Paul tells us, he said, I was chosen of God and not of man. And the disciples bore witness to that when Paul came, and they were just amazed that he was saying the same thing that they said, and then took them even further. So we have a pope by the name of Francis now, who is an American pope. And he is consolidating his base in the Americas, right? So the largest contributor to the Catholic Church right now is Mexico. You say, oh, they're too poor. They're the largest contributor. Doesn't matter how much, doesn't matter how poor they are. Everything is just this big sucking sound. Everything is being drawn. All the wealth, everything they have to pay for. And it's being sent back to the mother church. And so they're protecting wisely. They are protecting their, consolidating their base here in the Americas. And our nation has been taken over. You might even say that we are already under the control of the Catholic Church. So many of our elected leaders are Catholics. And this pope is now watering down church doctrine to open doors further to unite the different faiths together under one head. And there is a great call today for a oneness that is sweeping the world. And the thing about it is that this anointing is falling on men around the world who are all saying the same thing and calling for this oneness. And the only way that that could be possible, friends, is for it to be the same Spirit anointing individuals to call for the same thing. Right? You see somebody that's a goth, I don't care if they're in Philadelphia or if they're in Los Angeles. They're going to look the same. They're going to dress the same. They're going to act the same. And they will tell you, this was my idea. I'm not following. Nobody's telling me what to do. I'm being this because I want to be this. Well, how come there's a guy halfway around the planet that looks just like you? If you're so original. There's only two anointings. Meanwhile, there's another spirit that is anointing the true church of the living God. And that is that Christ himself has built. And there's a cry for oneness that's coming from her also, because he is anointing her to call for this. Not because she thought of it. Not because it was her idea. It's him anointing the body. It's the mind that controls the body. And as we said in the beginning of this series, it will not be man deciding to unite the true church. It will not be your efforts. It will not be my efforts. There will be efforts that go with it, but it won't be me making up my mind. Okay, let's put something together that will unite us all together. It will not be my efforts. It won't be your efforts. It won't be brother so-and-so's efforts that will bring this unity, no matter how good it might sound. It'll be the very same Spirit working throughout the body to unite it in oneness of purpose and of spirit. So when you hear things like, we all need to go to these meetings, or we all need to get together at that church, or we all need to listen to this place or that place, don't listen to it. Because the Spirit is able to direct the body all by himself and do what he wants done all by himself over the whole earth. And I believe, friends, that's why this is so much of this is going to escape the notice of the devil. Because God's just quietly doing it. The mind is not speaking to the devil. The mind is speaking to a body. And the mind, when the mind speaks to the hand, the mind doesn't explain everything to the hand. Well, you see, here's what I'm doing over here, and that's what I'm doing over there. No, the hand gets directions. So the hand does what the hand's directed to do. The left hand might be directed to do something completely different. The foot, this, and the right? But it's him, it's Christ directing the body, and it won't be a public show. It isn't a public show. It's the same Spirit working throughout the body to unite it in oneness of purpose, oneness of spirit. In spoken word is the original seed. I just couldn't resist bringing this out here tonight. I don't want to keep you too much longer, but I just love this. It's just becoming so timely. The things that we've heard for years and years and years, there's a time when it's just... He says, now, here's what I'm trying to say to you. The law of reproduction bring forth of its kind. Genesis 1:11. These last days, true church bride comes to the headstone. Will be a super church. Amen. Not according to the world, but according to the word. Amen. Difference one letter. Will be a super church, a super race, as it nears the great headstone. As Christ is uniting with that body. They will be much like, so much like him, even they will be in his very image. Not because I decided to be that. It's what he's doing. It's his body. Friends, you see the world uniting and they're coming together in a certain image. And it isn't because this one decided or that one decided. There's an anointing behind it. Just as there was on Nazi Germany. I mean, they even wonder themselves, how did we all come together under that anointing? Right? And then our prophet told us that Luther planted some of those seeds. And that it came to fruition. He was a reformer. But there was anti-Semitism in his day. He says, they will be so much like him, even they will be in his very image in order to bring to being united with him. They will be one. So I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody tries to do or doesn't try to do. They will be one. It's already been seen in the vision. The vision can't fail. They will be the very manifestation of the Word of the living God. Amen. Well, I think it means this. I think it means that. This is that. Amen. Denominations can never produce this. Amen. They will produce their creeds and dogmas mixed with the Word and which brings a hybrid product. The first son was spoken seed, Word of God. He was given a bride. I'm just reviewing. He says, the Spirit is now picking up what I said. The Spirit is now picking up what I said. A bride to produce himself. She fell. The bride was given to produce himself again, another son of God. But she fell by hybriding. See, produce himself, but she fell, caused him to die. The second son, a spoken seed, word of God, was given a bride like Adam. But before he could marry her, she had fallen. Also, the church. For she was put to a free moral agency, like Adam's wife was, to believe God's word and live, or doubt it and die, and she did. Now, friends, the true church never did die, right? But the whole move of God got infiltrated, and it started to die. Then from that little group of the true seed of the word, God will present Christ a beloved bride, a virgin to his word. And through them and by them, somebody say through them, somebody say by them, will be fulfilled all that has been promised for his word in a virgin who knows no man-made creeds or dogmas. So how can you be a virgin? You have to be born again. Right? When you're born again of his spirit, there's one sense in your soul, and that sense is faith. Before you were born again, there was a shadow over you, and you were filled with doubt and unbelief. But now you believe. In your soul, you believe. No matter what, you believe. The word of promise in himself, like it was in Mary, God himself made manifest. He will act himself by his own word of promise, so to fulfill all that has been written of him, as he did when he came from the virgin womb, type of the spirit womb now, so will the virgin now, accepting his word. This is, friends, the theme of our message is what? Only make it happen? Only work at it? Only what? Then why do we try to do all that other stuff? Our part is, okay, we caught the vision. We know what you've shown us through a prophet, what's in heaven. Be it unto me according to thy word. I'm agreeing with your word. We don't bring it to pass. He does. The word of promise in himself, like it was in Mary, God made himself manifest. He will act himself by his own word of promise, so to fulfill all that's been written of him, as he did when he came from the virgin womb, type of the spirit womb now, so will the virgin now, accepting his word, be it unto me as thou hast said. Only believe. Though it was said by an angel, while it yet was written, word, Isaiah 9:6. They will love him. Friends, this is the vision. This is, there's no way this can't happen. This is describing this end time church. The end time bride of Jesus Christ. They will love him and love his and will have his potentials. For he is their head and they are his subjects. Subject to his head. Headship of Christ was his. Listen to this. Notice what harmony. Notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until he's seen of the Father, or the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ. John 5:19, so will the bride, and he shows her his word of life. He shows her, and she receives it. Listen to this, she never doubts it. She may not understand it, but she never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. Then I got a great big hallelujah, he says. Here is the secret. How many wants to know the secret? Here's the secret. Here's the secret. The word is in his bride. Amen. You say, well, it's on the tape. Well, it was on the tape, but it was put on the tape so it could get transferred into flesh. Amen. The word is in the tape isn't going in the rapture. The word is in the bride and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. That's revelation. And she does it in his name. She has, thus saith the Lord, then it is germatized, so it's the Holy Spirit that waters it until it's grown and serves its purpose. They do only his will. Not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. I believe that, he says. No one can persuade them different. They're not trying to do this. This is what they will do. They have, thus saith the Lord, or they'll keep still.
then they will do the works of God, for it is himself in them, continuing his word to fulfill, as he did complete in his days. All things when he was here, he did not complete all when he was here, for it was not the time yet. Now it is. Amen? So while this, I'm trying to, you know, it's the law of contrast, right? We don't want to spend all of our time looking at the darkness. And we don't want to spend all of our time just looking at the light and ignoring the darkness, right? In fact, you can't know what light is without darkness, and vice versa. So while this ecumenical movement is sweeping the globe under an Antichrist spirit anointing, there's another union that's taking place under the very anointing of Christ himself. So we can look out in the world and we can see what that Antichrist anointing was able to accomplish through people that were united under a spirit in the 20th century. And so there should be no doubt here tonight, friends, no doubt in our minds that what is prophesied to take place will also take place under that very same anointing when people are united together under it. And if that can take place and have so much power through people who are not making it happen themselves, but are manifesting it by the anointing that is upon them, well then how much more will the power of Christ sweep through the church of this last days to bring a total restoration and a rapture? It's Christ. This thing started out with a perfect couple in a perfect garden with a perfect word, and Satan caused them to fall. Now God is showing us the power of this blood. He's showing us the fullness of redemption. He's showing us what Calvary accomplished, and he's also going to show us who man really is, because he took sinners and prostitutes and drunks and Republicans. He took all of us. He went through an alley somewhere, went into a bar room somewhere else. Amen. And found where that seed was buried. Found that hidden treasure that was buried in the field. He didn't take you out of the field. He put you right back in there. But he had paid the price. He took off his royal robes and came down to pay the price for everything that was in the field. And he said, I thank you, Father, all that you've given me, I'll not lose a single one. Satan heard that, no doubt, and Satan thought, I'll just bury them so far in religion. I'll just bury them so far in sin, you'll never be able to find them. He knows his own. How many knows that's true? He'll not lose one. So he's, here we are, man. We had a confusion over the word. We had sinful man, and we're in Satan's Eden. And God starts out by raising up one that's going to come to maturity before the rest of us. He raises up one, saves him, sanctifies him, fills him with the Holy Ghost. A man that would have been a murderer, he would have smoked, he would have drank. When he was on his way to hell and he was crying out his defense when he was 14 years old and he's in the hospital, he said, I never did commit adultery. That's something to be proud of. God kept him, right? But he saved him, he sanctified him, he filled him with the Holy Ghost. God found a serpent in the garden. And that serpent, or excuse me, Satan found a serpent in the garden. And that serpent was a kind of an image of Lucifer in heaven. He's kind of co-equal with man, but he can't create. He can talk and he's strong and he can reason. And Satan said, how would you like to have that man's position? Aren't you tired of Adam saying, serpent do this and serpent do that? Adam was in charge, right? And all Adam had to do was speak the word. And so no doubt, Satan is talking to this serpent, saying, aren't you tired of that knucklehead telling you what to do? How'd you like to have his kingdom? I'll tell you what. If you unite with me, we'll go places together. He failed to tell him about him losing his arms and legs, eating dust. But he said, serpent, I want to borrow your body. Because there's a woman that I can't take this from the man. But I can get to the woman who's the byproduct, taken out. The faith part is in Adam, and as long as she's with him, she's safe. If I can pull them aside, I want to use your body and speak to her, and I'll get her to forfeit. I'll get her to fall, and then her husband will forfeit the kingdom rather than lose her. Because there is nobody, she's part of him. There isn't another Eve inside of him. So he's going to choose to go out and die with her. Right? So I want to borrow your body. Let me speak through you to speak to this woman. He did. And he lied to her. She believed the lie. She was supposed to only believe. If she would have, when Adam would have spoke, she would have believed, those names would have come forth in their due season. Right? But instead of bringing forth those names, she brought forth life, but it was a life of death. Right? So here we are in the end time, and I saw another mighty angel. This one wasn't kicked out of heaven. This one descended from heaven. And this one found a man, not a serpent, found a man who was a sinner, who was lost, saved him, sanctified him, filled him with the Holy Ghost. And this angel, Christ himself, said, can I borrow your body? Will you let me borrow your body? Because there's a woman that I want to speak to in this other garden, in this other Eden. And I'm going to tell her the truth. And she's going to only believe. And all those names that were on that book that were supposed to come forth, they are going to come forth in a resurrection. That's the God I serve tonight, friends. And Satan's playing a part in this coming to pass. He is actually proving who you are. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Satan's Eden. Most sinful time, most wicked hour, most deceitful hour. And God showed us the power of this blood. Friends, if it can do that through the first of the first fruits of the harvest, what about the rest of it? That's the God I serve tonight. Satan's not getting over him one bit. He's got the last word. Satan thinks he has the upper hand. He's going to find out. So religious leaders are leading people to embrace the beast and to embrace the beast system unknowingly. And they will succeed, listen to this, they will succeed in getting all whose names are not written in the book of life to embrace this beast system. Right? Anybody who is ever going to be saved, their name is in that book. God is, as we looked at that through the church ages, God's not writing that book. He's not making it up as he goes along. That book was written before the foundation of the world. If you are going to be saved, you're in that book. If you are a bride, you're in a certain section of that book. If your name's in that book, it can be taken off, but there's no names that are going to be added. Your name is either in there or it isn't. So, everyone whose names are not written in that book will unite. And they will do it willfully, or as we looked at, as we talked about in the days of Babylon, we know that there were some that united under Nimrod out of fear, because they were coerced, they were pressured. So there will be some that unite willfully, there'll be some that are coerced, there'll be some that will just jump on the bandwagon, cool, no clue of what they're joining up with. But they will unite with it willfully. But that doesn't mean they will agree with it in every way. And once the bride has united under her head, and the bride of all the ages has come back to the earth to pick up bodies, the bride of all the ages will leave this earth and will take to the heavens in a rapture. And then that man of sin will step forward, who will be the very incarnation of Satan himself in human flesh. So we had God working through a man, a redeemed son, and now we're going to have Satan working through a serpent again. That's not the seed of God. Satan controlling that man and using him as the world Superman to unite the world together under one king and one kingdom. Satan's Eden. One religion. One form of currency. You realize how close we are to not there not being a dollar anymore? Yeah, real close. Because it's more control. It's where it's all leading, right? Where you can't even... electronic currency. You can't even spend it. In hiding. Not that you're going around hiding, but everything you do will be recorded. Well, Brother Doug, I'm so scared that I might take this mark so that I can feed my family or so that I can eat or so I can still have a job. You know, if I agree to use this cryptocurrency or if I agree to have a chip implanted in me, I think that's coming too. I mean, it actually makes sense if you think about it. I mean, it's reasonable. All this stuff will be reasonable. Just scan. You got the chip. I actually wouldn't mind not having to carry a wallet. Just scan my chip. Everything that science fiction has imagined, because science is their God now, whatever was science fiction is coming to pass. If I agree to use cryptocurrency or to have a chip implanted in me, have I taken the mark? The mark of the beast is a spiritual mark. And remember, there are only two spirits at work. When the true church can discern those two spirits and withstand that Antichrist spirit, Satan will be absolutely thwarted concerning her. So there's only two spirits at work, and one of them is Christ. Any guess who the other one is? So if you have been filled with His Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you're born again of the Spirit by the Word, well, guess what? You have a love of the truth. Not you're trying to, you're working up to it. It's in you. And you just can't even fathom why anybody else wouldn't want the truth. In fact, I know myself, I went many, many years thinking everybody wanted the truth. And that the fact that they weren't receiving it is just because we aren't explaining it good enough. But then you find out that you can prove it, and they'll just change the subject because they don't care. They don't want to be right. Or they don't want to be correct. They just want to be right in their own thinking. Everybody doesn't love the truth, but you do. That ought to cause you to shout tonight, friends. Because those that had not a love of the truth, He'll give them a strong delusion to believe the lie. But you have a love of the truth. You have sold out to Jesus. You have given His word preeminence in your life. First place. You want the will of the Father done in your life. You have already been sealed in the soul by the Holy Spirit. And that seal is a mark. And it's on you. It's a mark that's on you that seals Christ on the inside and it seals the world out. Satan doesn't even know what's in your soul. He has a pretty good guess by the way you act and by the way you live, but he don't know what's behind that soul. It is sealed. He can't tamper with it. He has no access. So you can no more die, quoting Brother Branham, than God can die. You have passed from death unto life. There's a part of you that's eternal. You are not going to be. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're waiting for your body to match what's in the soul. Your destiny has already been set. It's a sure thing. Let me read this. Matthew 10:28. We will pull over here in just a minute. Matthew says, or Jesus says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Well, if you pass from death unto life, you can't die any more than God can die. Right? So, Brother Branham put it to us this way: to reject the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to reject Christ the Word, well, it leaves the person open to one thing and one thing only: receiving the mark of the beast. Recall that Cain slew his brother, and then God banished him from the family and sent him off into another land. And as God was telling him what was going to befall him, Cain complained that men would kill him when they found out that he killed his brother and was also banished from the presence of the Lord. And so God put a mark on Cain, who Cain was of the beast, so that others who saw that mark would not kill him. So those that received this mark just as Cain did in our day will be anointed of the very same spirit of Cain's father, Satan himself. And the mark on them will preserve them under this Antichrist system. But it also marks them for judgment during the great tribulation period, and then also at the great white throne judgment at the last resurrection. There will be those that are saved that will go into the tribulation, but don't, they haven't been sealed. They're believing unto receiving. They will be given white robes on, they'll be judged according to their works. And they will not bow their knee to this Antichrist system. And they will die a martyr's death. So, if you are asking this question here tonight, and if you're worried about it, let me put it to you this way. If you are planning on not going in the rapture, well, then you might want to be sure that you don't unite with this system that's going to control everything during the tribulation period. But my advice is get filled with the Spirit while His Spirit is still here. And then take no thought to what will befall those that miss the rapture and the rest of the world that rejects Christ the Word. You can no more receive that mark than God can, because you've already been bought and paid for with a price. And there's a token there that confirms that the price has been paid. So let me close with this tonight. I don't want to go spend too much time on it, but modern events are made clearer by prophecy, or prophecy is made clearer by modern events. The attack on our nation right now, I want you to listen closely. Some of you have tuned me out. You need to tune me back in for just a moment. The attack on our nation right now, and Brother Job, God bless you, your family, it's nice to have you. It's nice to have you folks over there. Anybody else that's visiting, God bless you. You're adding to this service. Don't get nervous now. The attack on our nation right now is not being driven by American citizens that have gotten together and said, let's make an issue out of race, because we all want to go and get in our corner. Have you noticed even on, like with Facebook and different things? I know, I took the mark. I get on Facebook to communicate prayer requests and things like that. Have you noticed that even when you give a thumbs up or you're praying or whatever, you got to put a color to that, you know? White hands, yellow hands, brown hands. And people just go and get in their little corner. Who cares? We're all, come on, friends. This isn't something that we decided to do. This is something that somebody else decided. And they realized that if they can divide, they can conquer. So if they can get us fussing with one another, we won't realize that our government has taken over. That one world government has taken over. We won't realize the agenda because we're too busy fighting one another. It's ridiculous. So it isn't American citizens that got up one day and says, you know, I think that we ought to focus on race. I think we ought to focus on gender. Sexual orientation, wouldn't that be cool? Why don't we focus on that? You know what? Let's break down the men to such a point that they are no more than a lamppost. Let's shame them for their toxic masculinity. In other words, for acting like a man because they have hormones of a man. Come on, friends. Let's tear down all standards. Let's break up the family unit because that's the backbone of America. And let's form a different kind of a union and call that a family. Where the woman is without a husband. And or if she has one, he's supposed to keep his mouth shut. And it's okay for her to get hysterical. It's okay for her to have toxic masculinity. And let's form a different kind of a union where the woman is without a husband. And so she needs the government to be the head of the house, which we'll gladly step in and be. And don't think for a moment, friends, that this is sweeping through our nation as the majority of people who have decided that this is what we want and this is best for our country. It's not. This is an agenda. This is not conspiracy. Mark my words. It's happening. It's been prophesied. It's happening. This is external forces that are being driven by an Antichrist spirit that is anointing people from other nations to set up a new world order in preparation for one world government, setting the stage for the tribulation period and for the man of sin to step in. And the way you destroy a nation and its culture is to control the media. Friends, if you get on, it used to be Fox News, but they've sold out. If you get on, what's the Newsmax, right? Or one of these other ones. First of all, don't do it. But if you were going to do it, you are being deceived into thinking that they're actually on your side. This is all, it's all been bought and paid for. It's over. America had an opportunity to accept or reject Christ in 1956. 50 years after the Spirit fell on the day on Azusa Street and other places around the world. She went in, the Pentecostal church went into bondage. 50 years later, 1956, a trumpet blows, and Brother Brown said, America will either accept or reject Christ this year. Amen. Guess what she did? Rejected it. And we've been in a free fall ever since. Right? This nation is being judged. Ichabod is written over the top of it. And I didn't think I'd have to live in it. I hate to see it happening, but it's scriptural. Right? So don't think that this is sweeping through our country as some kind of a majority opinion. It's not. The way to destroy a nation and its culture is to first control the media and the government and to force these changes on people that don't actually want this change and shame them and threaten them. You know, let people demonstrate for Hamas and break into government buildings, but let them challenge an election and you lock them up without due process, put them in prison somewhere. That's what's happening. Right? Come on. I'm not, you'll see here in a minute, this is not to get you to go out and pick it and it's supposed to be that way. It has to be that way. America is falling. We are the last free nation on the earth. Right? We are the last free people. And in order for this new world order to completely come into being, this nation has to be conquered. And it's being conquered right now. Yes. Against our wishes. So the way to do this is to pit one against another. Pit this race against that race. And this grievance culture against that grievance culture. Get hypocrite ministers, reverend this or that, to fight the battles for you. to promote the lies. To shame and to persecute you until they force everyone to either conform or to endorse this new culture and government that will take over this nation. Now, Joe and I and Joel and probably many of you, I worked for 20 years. We've already went through this. We were a government contractor, and the government said, if you want to still have our business, transgender people are fine. If somebody decides I'm a guy one day and I'm a girl the next day and decides to go into the women's bathroom, if you've got a problem with it, you need sensitivity training. You need reprogramming. Security clearances where they're always checking up on you, and you've got to, if you talk to somebody, if you've got a drug problem, if you've got a health problem, if you've got a money problem, you have to report all these things. But if you wake up one morning and you're not sure which side of the human race you're on, that's not a security risk. That's total insanity. It just shows you this is not an agenda of rational people. This is something to tear down. It's to change. It's to destroy the culture that we have so that you can remake it. So this is exactly how communism takes over a nation. And remember, we're told not to fear communism, so I'm not. This is how socialism takes over a nation. And what you end up with is a few ruling the many and claiming that it's all for the greater good. And it's godless. The God that's worshipped is science. They go after our children. I mean, I can't think of anything more perverted. Go after our children, our young children, and plant seeds when they're young and they have no hormones and they should have no business discussing issues of life. Before they have hormones, before they have a gender, excuse me, they were born with a gender, but before their hormones begin to change and they're going through these times of change, let them know that gender is a choice. And put pressure the entire nation with this. Do you realize how much gender dysphoria really exists? I mean, it's less than 1%. Just deal with that. But that's not the... Everything that's being said, that's not the agenda. It isn't, oh, equal rights for this or that. It's to tear down so that you can rebuild. So ask yourself tonight, where is all this headed? What's the goal? Or how about this? Defund the police. I mean, how much sense does that make? And how many people actually want that? Right? How many people don't want a policeman around when you're getting robbed? What's the agenda behind that? Form a very strong secret police? I mean, that's how it happens. And then get rid of the local police or scare them so bad that they won't fight for you. I mean, that's how you destroy a nation. And it's happening right before our eyes. Once again, I'm going to get off this in just a moment. It's dark. The goal is to conquer the last and greatest free nation of the world and form it into an image of the beast and bring it under the headship of the beast system. But you and I, we need to be sure to not be distracted by any of this that's going on, because it's been prophesied. And it will take place. And we aren't supposed to stop it. And we can't stop it. Now, you can defend your children, of course. I'm not saying that. But we're not going to change the nation. So while this uniting is taking place, we don't want to be distracted by it. While this indoctrination of propaganda is taking place, while minds are being washed and reprogrammed, there's a bride who's also being reprogrammed, who's also having her mind washed. And she's taking on the mind of Christ. She has His Word and knows what He wants done with it. She has "Thus saith the Lord," or she keeps still. There is a uniting that's taking place with the headstone and with one another in the purpose, in one purpose, in one vision, in truth, in motive, and in objective, and in love. And it's the most powerful force on the face of the earth. And it is bringing, it's actually bringing Christ back to the earth so that the church of all the ages can go with Him in a rapture. So that there's a people with not a mark against them on the earth. So they're no longer hindering those that are asleep. That rapture can take place. Meanwhile, the heavens are being cleansed of fallen angels. The accuser of the brethren is going to be cast down along with his merry band. And the heavens will then be filled with the redeemed of the Lord. And no more pollution of fallen angels. There's no one to accuse you because they've been cast down. No wonder the devil and his angels are, friends, God set a trap. God set a trap just as He did in the first Exodus. He brought His people to the edge of the Red Sea and set them there as bait to Pharaoh's army. And when Pharaoh came to wipe them out, and it looked like a sure thing, God parted the waters. He provided a way of escape. There's been a way of escape that's being ministered to us. In fact, Peter put it this way, ministering unto you an entrance. An entrance is being ministered unto you. It's an escape from this world. It's an entrance into another world. Amen. So we know that the waters came together and wiped out the greatest army on the face of the earth, wiped them out. Their evil taskmasters were swallowed up. This time, the bride of Jesus Christ is the bait. And God is actually the one that's calling the attention. God is actually, like He did with Job, God is actually saying, devil, have you considered my servant, the bride? Have you considered my church? And Satan is saying, yeah, but you put a hedge about her. You know, I could get her to curse you to your face and die. God says, go ahead. But I'm putting a boundary there. You can't touch that life. I've sealed it in. You can't touch that life. Right? So Satan, God is once again drawing attention to His bride. And the heavens are going to empty out. Because all of those fallen angels, Satan himself, are... We're seeing hell appear right here in this dimension. We're seeing it spill out right before us. Right? They are going to come, and they are going to come into this dimension to get this bride before she goes in a rapture. Right? And as they come to make their pounce, first of all, he's going to get his wings singed. There's going to be a manifestation of the sons of God. You say, oh, that's in the millennium. No, it's got to happen now. Got to prove the power of this blood. There's going to be a manifestation. There's going to be what you saw temporary, you're going to see in the fullness. There's going to be a power in this united body. Right? And we are going to take to the heavens in a changed body. And the reason why this is going to be a time of trouble such as the world has never known for 3.5 years is because Satan's going to be fighting mad. You know why he's going to be fighting mad? Because he's stuck here. He vacated the heavens and his angels. They are cast down. Friends, how are we going to have a honeymoon in heaven if the devil's there to trouble us? They're going to be stuck here, and he's going to go about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, trying to take this out. His wrath is going to be poured out for 3.5 years. Guess what? We come back and he's still here. And his angels are still here. God wipes the earth clean. The righteous walk out on the ashes of the wicked in the millennium. And then we look at those very same demons that have been cast out of our position in heavenly places Adam ruled from heavenly places. He ruled from heaven and the earth. He fell from that position in heaven. Satan has been squatting. He's the prince of the power of the air, but it's not his position. It's our position. We will come back to this earth, and those same devils that are going to cause trouble during the tribulation period, we're going to look at them and say, you know what, just shut up. Just sit down and shut up. How long? 1,000 years. It's our turn now. The Spirit of God is going to be so strong here on the earth that people that want to sin won't be able to. They'll be loosed at the end of 1,000 years, and as crazy as they are, they'll see supernatural beings rule and reign for 1,000 years, and they'll decide still to come against us. There'll be one last battle. Brother Bram said, Satan will be bound by a chain of circumstance. Well, what's the circumstance? It's you saying, shut up. Right? It's you controlling once again. We are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But pretty soon, Satan won't be there to accuse us any longer. We're in the greatest battle right now between Lucifer and Satan. Satan will be cast down. So this is the happy part of the program. We need to be wise. We need to recognize what's taking place in our nation. Don't fall for it. Don't look at that and say, oh, well, you know, it's just in the name of tolerance and it's just this. No, it isn't. There's an agenda. Right? And the agenda is the destruction and the remaking of this nation. Just look at all the other nations. Europe is, they already lost their freedom. Right? We're the last ones. So just as sure as that's going to take place, that's what I want you to leave with tonight. Just as sure as Satan is going to have his Eden. You know what? He can't have an Eden as long as you're here, though. You're ruining his Eden. You realize that Pharaoh actually paid Moses and the people of God to leave Egypt? Actually paid them to leave. Satan might make us an offer. He might say, well, you can go in a rapture, but not your family. No, you're not calling the shots. No, I'm not leaving yet, devil. I got family that's under my covenant. I'm not leaving a hoof behind, devil. I'm taking everything that belongs. You're not calling the shots. Hallelujah. He wants us gone, friends. The things that are coming can't take place as long as you're here. As long as the Holy Spirit is here, Satan can't have free reign. Right? Brother Bram said one time, he said, you know, speaking about Billy Graham, he said, Billy Graham made this statement. He said, Billy Graham said, you know, if the Holy Spirit was to be lifted off the earth, he said, I don't think more than 0.5% would even notice the difference. This is the messenger to Sodom with that easy believe doctrine to Sodom, right? He's making that statement. Not even 0.5% would know the difference. Guess what? You would, right? I don't fear the tribulation period. Why should I? It's not for me. I don't fear hell. Why not? It wasn't created for me. It was created for Satan and his angels. I'm a son of God. I'm not going to hell. The devil has no part in me. I have no part in him. I found myself in the volume of the book. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Our time is coming, friends. The best part is yet to come. We're at the very climax in this golden age, golden hour. Most wicked time, but it's the most glorious time too. Be not weary in well-doing. Don't get distracted. Keep your eyes on things above. Musicians, if you'd come. Recognize what's promised for us in this day. It's so easy. Friends, I'm not immune to it. None of us are immune to it. It's so easy to look at all the things that are taking place in our nation and around the world and seeing it just the bottom's falling out of everything, right? There's only one thing that isn't falling, and that's the Word. And we're standing on that sure Word, right? In the time of trouble, I'll place you upon a rock. That rock is the revelation of His Word. Let everything else fall all around you, but that Word's not falling. It will come to pass. You can count on it. Keep our eyes. When you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. I don't know, friends. It could happen tonight. It could happen tomorrow night. I didn't expect to be here now. It could be 20 years from now. I don't know. But you just look at how things are headed up right now. You got the Pope negotiating peace between Hamas and Israel. I mean, what does the Pope have to do with it? Well, you'll find out. You'll find out where the seat of power is. Let's stand. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I pray that you all have a wonderful time with your family tomorrow, and or whoever it is that you might be gathering with. We have a lot to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for that we could start thanking them, and there isn't enough time. I don't know how much time we have on the earth, but there isn't enough time for us to thank Him for. I mean, we don't even know all that He's done for us. Just what we do know, we have enough to thank Him throughout eternity. Amen. Nothing to worry, nothing to be fearful about. Jesus didn't pick it. Jesus didn't say, down with Caesar, you know. Pro-life, pro-choice, whatever, you know. He didn't get involved with that. He said, give to Caesar what's Caesar's. Give to God what's God, right? Satan said, look, you don't have to fight for this world. I'll just give it to you. He looked at it and said, no thanks. It's mine anyway, but I have to pay for it. I have to pay the price of redemption. And besides that, I don't want it in this condition. I'm going to pay the price for it, and then I'm going to scorch it over, sanctify it, cleanse it. Then we'll walk out on it. You can have it in this condition, devil. Right? Don't get caught up on the things of this world. Don't get depressed over how dark things are getting. I'm preaching to myself right now. It's easy, friends, to, you know, especially, you know, the older you get, I grew up when middle America was still, even though America was falling, it hadn't fallen. People still waved at you. If you went over to a friend's house and knocked on the door and they were having dinner, they'd say, oh, well, Johnny, he's having dinner, but would you like to come in and, you know, we'll put out another plate? Right? Anybody? Don't just stare at me. Anybody remember that? You remember where any adult could spank you? And you didn't dare tell mom and dad because you'd just get spanked again. They didn't take him to court. They paid him. And then you got it again. Where are we at tonight? Remember when you could lend somebody $5 without writing a contract? And even after you write the contract now, they say, well, that depends on what the word is. Start playing with words. Right? I mean, I'm sorry. I am closing. My early childhood, I was born in 1960, January 8th. So just, if I was born 8 days earlier, I could have started school a year earlier. America was already starting to fall at that time because America had rejected Christ in 1956. It had rejected the message. Imagine if America would have received the message. Imagine if Brother Branham said, I would have liked to have gotten to Jacqueline Onassis, you know, Jackie Kennedy. I would have liked to have gotten to Marilyn Monroe, right? Imagine if John Kennedy and Jackie Kennedy would have accepted the message. Be a whole different picture, wouldn't it? It actually wouldn't be a different picture for you and I. It would just be a different picture for our nation. But these things have to be. These things have to come to pass. So, I watched my mother, who was raised Nazarene. My dad was raised Pilgrim Holiness. I watched my mother cut her hair and then get a hairpiece. Anybody know what that hairpiece is called? A fall. Why is it called a fall? Show that you're falling. You're supposed to laugh. They started cutting their hair, and then they wore a hairpiece when they went to church. Well, why'd you cut your hair? If you want to look like that, well, it's because you want to look like that when you go to church. I remember, so both my grandmothers, Indiana, one Pilgrim Holiness, one Nazarene, never cut their hair, never wore makeup, sanctified homes. Both of them, their hair reached down to their ankles. And before you're impressed, one was 4'11 and the other one was 4'10, I think. My mom was 5 foot. But I remember my mother telling me sometime in the mid-60s, I remember her watching her put on a pair of shorts for the first time. We were Baptists, but the Baptists in the middle America were holiness. They called them bookshelf Baptists, fire and brimstone, whatever. My dad didn't let us go to, if we did go to a movie theater, it was a G-rated film. And that actually used to mean something. It doesn't mean anything now. Everything on the TV, the two channels that we got, because we lived on Air Force bases, there was no such thing as cable. And you had rabbit ears that you had to adjust and whatever. Everything we watched on TV was screened. We weren't allowed to watch programs like I Dream a Genie or Bewitched or any of the... Even I Love Lucy. This is Baptist, right? And I'm thankful for that upbringing. But my mom put on a pair of shorts. Now, they came down to the knee, and I think that style of shorts was called Bermuda shorts. I remember seeing my mom in shorts, and I remember my mom saying to me, Douglas, if my mother saw me wearing these shorts, she'd beat me to an inch of my life. I'm 6 years old, and I'm thinking, what are you telling me, Mom? You're telling me that you know that it's wrong. You know that you shouldn't cut your hair. You know that you shouldn't be wearing those shorts, right? And I'm supposed to be okay with it. I was confused. What am I supposed to believe? Right on the heels of that came the women's lib movement, right? My mom went to work. My wife's mom went to work. Prior to going to work, Dad ruled the house. Oh, you could see Mom go. You could see that she wasn't pleased with everything. But she honored and respected Dad. My parents didn't argue in front of us. I know they argued, but they didn't do it in front of us. But the moms started going out to work, and next thing you know, Mom's got an attitude. Next thing you know, she's calling the shots, right? I mean, anybody else grow up like this? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Right. We didn't know the message. The message hadn't come our way. But I saw wholesome mid-America change before my eyes. And that's baby steps compared to what's happening now, right? I don't recognize the nation that I'm living in right now. And I refuse to believe that a majority
wants this insanity. They don't. But this is how you conquer a nation. So, I'm sorry to put you through all that. I said I was going to close 20 minutes ago. I didn't think I would live to see this. But it's going to get a lot worse, right? So I'm sorry for whining tonight about what I've had to watch take place as this nation slides, right? But I'm counseling you tonight to keep your eyes on the promise. Because this is a great time and a terrible time. It's great for some, it's terrible for others. This is not our home. Right? Let them have it. Right? Let them have it. We will put it in order when we come back. There'll be a new sheriff in town. Kings and priests. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we stand here this evening, Lord, coming from different places, different churches, one spirit, one purpose, one motive, one objective, one message, one messenger. Father, we all want the same thing. I believe that with all my heart. I believe, Lord, that that's the desire around the world. It's little groups here and little groups there. Satan won't be able to stamp it out because it isn't one big headquarters somewhere that you just go smite that and put an end to it. But it's little sovereign local groups here and there around the globe. And Lord, you're bringing to pass what you declared in your word. This very message that was delivered to us at a great price. We're seeing it take on flesh. We're seeing it come into view, into manifestation. And it's a beautiful, beautiful message. Lord, we're just amazed. We're just in wonder. Mighty God unveiled before us in this hour, in this age, the true Jesus of the Bible, walking amongst us, making yourself known once again, yesterday, today, and forever. That's, Lord, that's where we want our attention to be. We want to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Lord, you've sent a friend of a bridegroom, also a member of the bride, but a friend of the bridegroom, who was a loyal friend of the bridegroom, and he told us all about you. He told us what you liked and what you didn't like, and told us what your promises are, told us what you thought about us, what your desire was, actually brought us together. I'm not waiting to be introduced. I've already been introduced to the true Jesus that Paul preached, the true Jesus of the Bible. We didn't know. We're living in such confusion, been such a dilution, a desertion from the truth. But Lord, you updated yourself. You came, and not in word only, but in power and demonstration. And Lord, you've proven who the God of the Bible is. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, to this day, I still don't know anyone that talked about our Lord Jesus like our friend of the bridegroom, like our messenger did. Everything was to draw attention to Christ Jesus. And I'm so thankful for that. I'll ever be grateful for it. Not to build another kingdom of man, not to build a following, but to bring a body to maturity, to bring a union between a bride and a bridegroom. I'm so thankful, Lord. I'm still amazed that you allowed me to be a part of this. I know without a shadow of a doubt that I don't deserve any of this. But I'm forever grateful, Lord. And I'll love you throughout eternity. Lord, I make mistakes. We all do, but it's not my desire to do it. And we're quick to repent when we do, Lord. But I'm so thankful for that grace, Lord, that's extended to us while we're still a work in progress. I pray that you'd bless each and every one, Lord. I pray that
this message would just be so alive. This message is Christ. May it be so real to each and every one of us. May our eyes be turned upon Jesus. May that be our entire focus. I can't be discouraged when I look upon you. I can't be discouraged when I hear these unfailing words of promise. When I hear these love words that are spoken to us. Father, may that be our focus. And may the world, that's our desire, Lord. May the world know that Jesus Christ was sent from God by that oneness that's taking place in a body here on the earth. May it be said about us, Lord, as it was about the early church by the heathens. They sure had a love one for another, even to the place where they, if need be, they'd lay down their life for one another. Father, if we are completely surrendered to you, then we will naturally, we won't have to try to unite with the rest of the body. We're part of the body. Lord, if we're united with you first, we'll be united with one another as well. I pray that your blessings be upon each and every one, upon each and every home, Lord, as we go home to, Lord, to have a little holiday, a little time to thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us, for this nation, for us as sons and daughters of God. May you bless each and every one, we pray. May there not be a lonely one in this hour, Lord. If we know of someone, Lord, may we reach out. May you put somebody on our heart, Lord, if there's someone that's alone over this weekend, part of the body, but alone. Pray that you'd move upon our hearts, Lord, to allow the love that has been shed abroad in our hearts to extend to the rest of the body, to our brothers and sisters. We love you. We thank you. We give you all praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. And is